Good morning and Happy New Year. Today's scripture lesson is John 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. John bore witness to him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, for he was before me.' And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known."
You know, when I think about this text, I think it must have been very hard being John. There he was, set apart by God to do one single thing with his life, to proclaim the coming one. And yet, he didn't have a name to shout out loud. He didn't know who he was waiting for exactly. He didn't know exactly when he would arrive. He didn't know whether to watch the skies above or the earth below. He didn't know if he should be coming in on a chariot of fire or if he would be coming incognito. He had no idea. And the net effect of all of this unknowingness was that John didn't know who he was himself either. "Are you the Messiah?" someone asked. "No, I'm not," he said. "Well, then, are you Elijah?" No, I'm not that either." "Are you a prophet?" "No." "Well, then, who are you?" "I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, the one you do not know, the one who is coming after me, the one who I'm not worthy to untie his sandals." And until that one came, John's life was just one long advent, waiting, a lifetime of waiting, a lifetime of preparation to wait, waiting in the dark for the light, waiting without knowing about the one who would come and change everything. He couldn't name it, but he knew it was coming. And that knowledge alone was enough to make John's wait worthwhile. On the whole, we human beings do not like to wait. We prefer to reach out. We prefer to grasp what we can gather. Either that or we cross it off of our list and we move on. But the truth is that sometimes it's not there to be grasped, the thing that we want. Maybe it's a dream of the future that is still a long way off that we have in our mind's eye. Or maybe a hope of who you're going to become in life if you're young, or who your children or grandchildren will be if you're older. But in any case, waiting means one thing. We are not in charge. It's designed that way. God designed it that way, to remind us of our limits, the thing that we push up against all the time and want to see if we can move further than our limits. We like doing, we like earning, we like buying, we like selling, we like building, we like planning, we like driving, we like making things happen. Whereas waiting is essentially a matter of being, stopping, sitting, listening, looking, breathing, wondering, praying. Waiting is a feeling akin to hopelessness because you're not in charge. You can't give that thing that you want to yourself. And yet waiting is an essential part of the Christian life. It's necessary for maturity. It's necessary for growth. We say it every time we celebrate communion, and we'll celebrate it today. We proclaim the Lord's death and his resurrection until he comes to be with us again, we say. This is the mystery of our faith. We are always waiting for Christ to come to us, even though we believe that he has already arrived. We still believe he's coming. Has he already come, Steve? Well, yes. Will he come again? Yes. Is he here right now? Yes. Well, then, which one is it? It's all of the above. He's come, he'll come again, and he'll come again still. And what this says to me is that our waiting is not in vain. That if you've been waiting on a dream, if you've been waiting on the future to reveal itself in a way that you had hoped for, your waiting is not in vain. It's not a waste of time. It's something. It's a very big something, too, because people tend to be shaped by whatever it is that they are waiting for, by whatever it is they're longing for. Their lives are shaped around that belief. Have you ever noticed that? It's important to notice that. When you want something really badly, your whole life tends to rearrange itself around that thing you want. Whether that means going to college, whether that means finding a mate, whether that means getting the career of your dreams, it means that everything revolves around that. For one person, that might be a child, right? A baby hoping for desperately a child. For someone else, that's a house they've wanted all along, the American dream to be fulfilled. When I was a teenager, it was independence that I waited for, right? I wanted to be free of the burdens that my mom and dad put on me, the rules that they set. I wanted to live life by my own rules. And when I got that, then I wanted something else. I wanted a vocation. I wanted to know what to do with my life, and I waited for years for that to be fulfilled, for that to come, for the hard work to get towards that, and years still after that, and more importantly, I wanted and waited for that relationship with that one other person that would last a lifetime, to be with the love of my life. And today, what I wait for is wisdom. Today, I wait for enlightenment. How about you? What is it that you're waiting for this coming year? And how is it shaping your life? How is that shaping your life? Are you waiting for certainty? Are you waiting for a healing? Are you waiting for love? Are you waiting for recognition? Are you waiting for retirement? For enough money to pay the bills? How about peace? Or how about justice on earth and goodwill towards all? How about that? Whatever you see you are waiting for, chances are that something, it has something to do with your vision of what it meant for you to be made whole, of what it means for you to be a whole person, to be transformed into a person who is no longer afraid of the future and what it may hold anymore, who doesn't look at the future with fear, but rather looks at the future with hope and looks at it with faith, whose basic needs are met and whose wounds have been healed, and to be loved and to be able to love back, not a bad want. Not a bad want. The renowned 19th century Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon, in a sermon on the Incarnation, expressed his understanding of John's prologue that we heard Jody read from this way, and this was written over 100 years ago, and I couldn't have said it better today. He said this, Charles Spurgeon did, God had made many visits to humanity before Christ's incarnation. He had visited Moses, he had visited Abraham, he had visited Sarah. But the most wonderful visit of all was when he came to tarry here some 33 years to work out our salvation. What but tender mercy, hearty mercy, intense mercy could bring the great and mighty God to visit us so closely that he actually assumed our nature? Kings may, for various reasons, visit their subjects, but they do not think of taking upon themselves their poverty, their sicknesses, or their sorrows. They could not do it if they wanted to, and they would not do it if they could. But our divine Lord, when he came hither, took upon himself our flesh. He did not come to earth just to pay us a passing visit, but he dwelt among us in this world of sin and sorrow. This great Prince of Peace entered our abode, entered our flesh, wherein our poor humanity finds its home for a season. This little planet of ours was made to burn with a superior light among its sister stars in the universe, amongst the billions of stars in the universe. Ours was made to burn just a little bit brighter than all the rest while the Creator sojourned here in human form. What a miracle! The God who created infinity, the God who created beyond our comprehension the universe and the stars and the planets and the fields of gravity and the fields of electromagnetism and the creatures of the deep and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, it was this entity that we call God that decided to become one of us, in our skin. Like John, we may be short on the details of how God is coming into our lives, right? We may not know that it's him or that one, but we know to wait. We know to wait because we know that in waiting, God will reveal God's self to us. And it may be a short time or it may be a long time, but the promise is this, that God will reveal himself to us. Just as he did to shepherds and wise men 2,000 years ago, he comes to our lives today to reveal who he is. But we are not short, therefore, on hope. We are not short on hope. For whatever happens to us, whatever happens to us this year in 2014, whether it happens today or it happens at the end of this year, this is what we believe in this place and this time. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen.